Hello, and welcome to another episode of Young Black Misses. You know, it's been a long time. I had to sit there and pause to remember how I intro. I am so happy to be back for season four. Count it, 1, 2, 3, 4. If you've been rocking with me since the beginning, God bless you. Especially if you're not my relative, God bless you. I'm so excited to be back on the mic chatting with you and podcasting with you. This episode is going to take us for a little different turn. Yes, we are Young Black Misses, and that word really describes myself. So I want to spend some of this season, season four, exploring different types of marriages. So the next three guests that I have set up for you are a variety of different women with different stories, and I'm starting the season four off with a divorcee. And I think we need to bring that word back because it sounds cool. A divorcee, someone that's been divorced, but she is Young Black Mrs. at heart. I'm so excited for you guys to meet her. So we'll talk to Miss Misha soon. But, you know, let's just get into my favorite segment. I know you missed it. I know you missed it, right? Because I did too. Hit it with my theme song. Shaking my curls. I'm shaking my curls. I'm shaking my curls. Shaking my curls. I'm shaking my curls. I'm shaking my curls. I'm shaking my curls. Shaking my curls. So, in honor of this divorcee episode, I have seen some. Honestly, I be feeling like God talks to me in reels these days because just stuff on the Instagram that just really like speaks to me in ways that I don't know. It should, it shouldn't. I don't know. God wink is a thing for me, but that's a whole nother thing. But I saw something where it was talking about compatibility and in a reel. And I also saw something about we never learned how to, we don't. Dating helps us learn how to divorce. Dating doesn't help us learn how to stay together. And this is, you know, all my opinion, whatever, you think how you think. But those two things resonated with me. Because I think that there's a time when we think we need to be so compatible to our mate. But in actuality, that doesn't help us grow. And if we're not growing, what are we doing? In my opinion. And so I love that me and my husband are continuing to grow. And they say you change every 7 years. And we've already changed in these last 4 years. So I can't wait to see what year seven brings. You know what I'm saying? And so the thought of being completely compatible is crap. Is dumb. You're not like, and who would want to be with somebody just like them? That, how would you grow? How would you develop? How would you mature? How, you know, like that, yeah, that. And maybe at one point in my life I thought that would be cool to be matched or married with someone that is thinks just like me. But in all actuality, that sounds real boring, because yes, you can enjoy the same things, have the same values, but you maybe have a different thought point on something, or you think a little differently, or you enjoy this, or, and it doesn't make it bad, it doesn't make it wrong, it just makes it what it is, you know? And when it comes to that comment about where dating is teaching us about divorce, that actually came from a very well-known pastor named Michael Todd. And he got some backlash recently for spitting in somebody's eye, like, ooh, but we're gonna move past that. But if you needed that context, I gave you that context. But he also said something about, you know, basically dating is helping you learn how to divorce. Because when you realize, and I get his point, when you realize that you don't like someone in dating, you can just move on. You can break up with them. But when you realize there's something about your spouse, your husband that you don't love, then what do? Do you just immediately divorce? And I'm not saying that divorce is a bad thing. Obviously, I'm over here calling it divorcee, you know, whatever. I'm celebrating it in ways, because there are situations where you need to sign those papers, like Usher says. And really, it's truly about being well to yourself. And that's really what you'll hear it. And that's really kind of a big takeaway I took from my conversation with my guests. But back to the point that Todd was making, Michael Todd was making. If we are, in a sense, learning how to point out the things we don't like and to move on, how are we going to be able to, okay, well, you do this way, but I don't like it. How are we going to be able to collaborate with our spouse? Because my husband also said, and if you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen my reel where my husband pretty much said, they said, it's not about compromise in a relationship. It's about collaboration. And I think that is so missed. And that's a nice reason why people want to just immediately skip off. 51% of marriages end in divorce. Wow. That's the last statistic I heard. And so, I mean, you're in good company, I guess, but I don't know. So yeah, that's what I'm shaking my curls at. I guess I'm just shaking my curls at, you know, God speaking to me in reels. Hey, go ahead and speak to me any way you want to, God, but like, come on now, like, I don't know, that's just unique. But hey, he speaks in how he wants to, and so those things really resonated with me. All right, let's get on to the next segment.
What you chewing?
What am I chewing? Oh, sweetheart. In front of me. Okay. Yes, full disclosure, right? I'm eating leftovers. But recently, now you guys may know, I have a YouTube channel called Morgan Eats. So you can check that out. I feel like it's always in the link in the show notes. Whew. Forgetting what platform I'm on. And I also have an Instagram that you'll probably see these donuts on. Okay, so recently, and this is bothering me because it's like in my hand now. This is really dumb. Okay, and I don't have a plate to put it on. So we're just going to walk while I talk. Recently, I went to a restaurant and they had a 5-course vegan wine, a vegan dinner and wine pairings. And I was so inspired that I wanted to try, while I was sitting there, I wanted to try to make my own 5-course meal. And initially in my 5-course meal, my dessert was an apple crumble. But then I like saw this video that I had made for my old job. And I was like, that's bomb. I'm going to make these Greek donuts. So these yeasty donuts have no sweetness till I doused it with some agave. And then just for like a little, you know, splash of fun and a little color, because I needed the color, I added some pistachios that were just waiting to be eaten. Let's get into it. Yeah. I'm sorry, y'all. This is really bomb. I'm glad these are left over. Like, how did these make it? And they're not hard to make. It just takes a couple hours to like for the yeast to rise and the dough to rise. But it's a little, it's like 4 ingredients, really. I think I'm going to play around with the recipe because it is a little yeast forward. I think I'm going to play around with the recipe and see what happens when I add sugar. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm gonna play around and I'll report back. Off while I'm chewing, that's what we're going to eat. All right, I'm going to just keep eating my donut. Hello, welcome to the main event. I have a special guest with me. Misha, say what's up.
Hi, what's up, y'all?
Thank you. Oh, so I'm so happy to have found you on the interwebs, and I'm so excited to hear more about your story. Now, listeners, this might be a little bit different for us because we've went through a whole year of talking about pandemic weddings and marriages and all longevity, but Misha's got a little bit of a different story. So let us listeners know a little bit more about you as a woman first.
Okay, my name is Misha Simmons. I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. But I have since ventured off and joined the world's greatest Air Force. So I am active duty military. I'm a single mom to about to be 2-year-old, a sassy 2-year-old. And I also have my own podcast called Dimensions of Success. In the Air Force, I'm a instructor. I teach leadership. And I am recently divorced.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service, and girl, you working. You momming,
I'm out here,
you're
okay?
military. Yes, and you said
Yes.
Alabama. I'm like, okay, I ain't met somebody from Alabama. I know people that went to school out there, but I ain't never met somebody, so I
The
welcome
Gump
you.
Town is the best town.
I'm
Yes.
sure. I'm sure, girl. I ain't been there. You know, as long as the eating is good, then it's all good for me.
The eating is good, but that's the problem. That's why I'm thick now. Had to learn how to change the eating. So the eating is good and it's up and coming. So it has so much more than it did when I was growing up. So it's definitely a good in-between place to visit. So come
Yeah.
check us out. I'm not there right now, but if you go, let me know.
Okay. I will. Because I'm from Missouri, and some people say it's just Kansas City and St. Louis and all the stuff in the middle we don't care about. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because it gets a little rural in the middle, and we don't care about it. I'm not hating if you're from the rural parts of Missouri. I have a friend from Joplin, and I love her dearly, but like, you know, it ain't really popping out there, sis. I'm just keeping it a buck. She up here trying to move to Kansas City, so I totally understand. Okay, so you're mommying, but you said something kind of big that you're recently divorced. So let's just talk a little bit about like your love story. How did you get married? How did you guys meet? Like, what's up with that?
Love story. Well, it definitely wasn't a Cinderella in the shoe type of fit. It was an uncanny love story. We actually started talking. We're from the same hometown. We actually went to the same junior high school. I didn't know him, but he knew me. And we started talking through Snapchat. When I first started being active on Snapchat, I was adding everybody. I wasn't really paying attention to whether I knew the people or not. And I would always have this one guy who would basically just kind of compliment me on everything, ask me how my day was going. And I'm very private, so I was kind of like, ew, what does he want? But as time went on, he was like a constant, and then he eventually asked me on a date, and I was going back home for the first time after joining the Air Force. And he was in town, I was in town. So I said, okay, I'll do the date. And that's kind of where it all started. We went on a date. I met up with him. He had dreads, and they weren't kept. Sorry if you listen to this. And he was a very nice, young man, but he just wasn't what I would typically date. I was into the kind of bad, I wouldn't say bad boy phase, but like you just talked about the rural area. I kind of like a little swag. I like a little educated and a little gangster. I need you to be able to articulate, but still like put me in check sometimes. And he wasn't that. He was very accommodating. Very nice, a little bit soft-spoken, and it was just different from what I was used to dating, but it still felt a little bit off. But I went forward with the date, and you kind of consult with your friends, and I talked to my mom. They're like, "That man's being nice to you. Let him love you. What you doing? You just want somebody that's gonna be mean." And I was like, "No, there's just something." There's something, but I proceeded to date him anyway, and we ended up doing a long distance relationship. During that course of that relationship, I was stationed far away, and he was kind of flying out to see me. And the relation, my liking of him grew from us constantly corresponding and the effort that I saw that he put into making sure that we saw each other and talking to me and being supportive. I actually stopped talking to him because there was a situation with his father, and he was a very passive person, and I'm not. So he kept telling me about the situation, and I said, okay, I understand. I was being supportive. I said, but what are you going to do about it? Because if you said no and you've made it clear that the answer is no, why are you continuing to talk about something that you've already set a boundary for? And that should have been a red flag then for me, but it wasn't. So I stopped talking to him because I said, well, if you can't set a boundary with your father, how are you going to be able to set boundaries with me? I need someone that's going to be able to be independent and not let others, interfere in our relationship and so on. And so I stopped talking to him, and a couple of months later, he had resolved the situation with his father. So I saw that as growth. And so we continued to date. About, I'd say 10 months or so into our relationship, I got really sick. I called a friend. I was in the dorms then. Thank God, I have a little money now. But I was in the dorms then, and I called a friend because I couldn't move my head from side to side, and I felt bad. I couldn't speak. I messaged her and said, could you take me to the emergency room? And she came and got me. They did an X-ray, and I had fluid. It wasn't inside of my neck. It was on the outside. It wasn't inside my esophagus. It was on the outside, which was an unusual place for it to be because it's normally the opposite. So they stuck a needle in it in the ER and tried to drain it. At that point, my neck was flat and it looked normal. My lymph nodes were swollen, but there was no other like visual that anything was going on. After they stuck that needle, it went from 0 to 100 real quick. My neck swelled up the size of a balloon. They ended up admitting me. And when they did admit me, they ran a scan on what they had actually got out of that needle, and it came back to be so many different things that they had to call in infectious disease, an infectious disease doctor. And I was in a lot at once they did do that, I was in a lot of pain. So I got admitted, and at this time I'm about 24 hours away from home. So I didn't have anyone but that one friend. She had to return to work. So I reached out to him and my parents because it was a serious situation at the time. And my parents couldn't afford to leave work and come, but he was a welder, so his schedule was a little bit more flexible, and he was able to leave. So they went because the plane tickets there to South Dakota is where I was, but they're very expensive because it's a very small airport. And so my parents were able to give him money towards the ticket, and then he put in his own money and he flew out the same day. So he ended up being there after they ran more tests. They drained the area a second time, but this time the fluid spread from just outside my esophagus to it wrapped around to my spine and got worse. So they wanted to do the procedure again, but I said, no, I'm not going to let you keep cutting me. We need to figure out what's wrong and why isn't anything that you're doing making it progressively better? It's getting worse. It was so bad, girl. They were giving me, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's like a
Morphine?
severe, they were giving me morphine. Yeah.
Oh,
They were
wow.
giving me morphine for the pain. And I couldn't do anything for myself. So at this time, he had arrived, and he was my support. I was very scared. I didn't know until he told me that I was on the cancer floor. I was even more nervous because I'm thinking they didn't know, they weren't telling me what it was. They didn't have an answer, and I thought it was cancer because of the floor that they had me on. As the doctors continued to try to figure it out, he was just my moral support. I couldn't eat. I couldn't bathe myself. He was bathing me. He was feeding me. We had to, after they eventually, they still didn't know what it was, but after they had got it to a point where it was manageable, I was there 10 days and he was there the whole 10 days. They got it to a point where I was to go home with a medication bag. I had to go home with a pump that would be pumping the medication, and I couldn't take it off for another 2 weeks after they were releasing me from the hospital, and the medicine had to be changed and all of that. So he actually was the person that learned how to change the medicine, and we got like an Airbnb where I was stationed, and he was there during all that. Well, one night We stayed up and we talked all night. At this point, I was recovering and I just really expressed like my love and my gratitude to him for being there for me during that point in time. I talked about how scared I was and how I wanted us, I wanted it to be something official. And he agreed that he wanted it to be something official too. He felt that the experience that we went through kind of had bonded us together in a way that
Sure.
excelled our relationship to, a new height. So then we decided we were going to get married. It happened right after that traumatic event, which looking back at it now, it wasn't smart, okay? But during at the time, it was the love story. It was
Yeah.
the uncanny love story that you talked about. You said, tell me a love story. I don't know if it was like that, but it was a love story. You see people, they meet, they connect, they get married, they're still married. So I didn't feel, I felt that the connection was valid. I felt like everything he had showed me up until that point were actions and they weren't just words. He was consistent. His effort was where it needed to be, and it was different from any type of love I had experienced in my life at
Right.
that point. So I felt it was a sound decision. So we found someone to marry us. We got the license. We got married. We got married in a volunteer place that I did for airmen. It was just me, him, my mom and sister on FaceTime. And a couple of my friends from the base, because we were so far away, nobody else
So
could
you were
come.
still
And
in that same place. That was like shortly after you had all the health scare kind of stuff.
yes, this was like right after I recovered, was off the medicine. Right before I went back to work, we got married. Like right after, I would say like two and a half maybe weeks or so after, a month maybe, maybe a month, maybe a month.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So Misha, you said a lot. So I'm just unpacking right here. And that, yes, that was indeed a love story. Like for real, just thinking, cause sometimes when you're at your most vulnerable moment, like, and your partner steps up, it's like, okay, like that, exactly. That is attractive. And that, and like you said, you were seeing growth, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But first of all, are you okay now?
I'm okay now.
Like
We
health-wise.
still. Oh, yes, I'm good. Yes, I'm good health-wise. I'm a health and fitness freak. So I'm definitely good now, and I haven't
Okay,
had
good.
any more issues with that. So, yes,
Yeah,
thanks for
because I'm like,
asking.
okay, well, how are we going now? Okay, so it started off on a high, you know, that bonding situation, and you know, there's a child produced out of it, I'm assuming. So, you know, there had to be some really beautiful moments in that. How long were you married?
We divorced after a little over a year.
Okay. But that child was still produced within that marriage time. Yes.
Yes.
See, so
Yes.
that's, I always think that children are like the biggest miracle. I feel like even, you know, regardless of what happens between the mom and dad, like that child, they're supposed to be here, that they the blessing. Okay. So you kind of gave a little hint as to kind of what popped off. Do you feel as if it was kind of fast, or maybe a quick decision? Because you had mentioned hindsight. Like, how did I word in my questions? Like, what was the deal breaker? What was the breaking point?
The breaking point definitely happened during the pregnancy. There was several events that were a part of the breaking point. But I think the moment when I said, "Hey, I'm going to get a divorce," I was in therapy, working through some of our issues, and the therapist had saw me and him together for one of the sessions. And after the session, she decided she only wanted to see me. And she told me in that session, if you stay with him, you will forever be meeting your own needs. He's not going to meet them. He's not going to meet you halfway. He can't. So if you want to keep meeting your own needs, then you can go forward with this. But if you don't, then you need to let this go. And that was when I said, I'm gonna leave.
Wow. Therapy is amazing. And so since
Yes.
you moved into to the marriage quickly, you didn't have that opportunity to do premarital counseling, I'm assuming. And I think that's valuable because just from my experience and from talking to people, a lot of people before they got married, they postponed the marriage because they were in premarital counseling for so long and they had to work through their some issues. And I know I did pre and postmarital counseling just to kind of like we'd go back for like a tune-up, if you will, just to kind of keep it all moving and grooving as it's supposed to. But wow, so during the pregnancy, that was the breakdown in communications. Wow. So you were comfortable like saying I want a divorce. So I feel like that's I guess I'm just thinking in my marriage, but I'm not in your situation. So I'm only speaking for myself. Like if I were to say that V word, it's done. So you must have known then it's done, right?
Then at that point, yes, I knew it was done. But I had been afraid to say, I was afraid of it dissolving. At that point, I was still pregnant with the baby. She wasn't here yet. So I had a lot of hesitation, out of wanting to break, some generational things. I wanted a two-parent household. I wanted her to be, raised by both parents. I am Christian, so I really don't believe in divorce. So I had a lot of a hesitation and a battle with myself in my own mind about whether or not I was actually, trying and giving the grace and the support that he needed at that point where he was as my husband. So it definitely wasn't an easy word for me, even though it was a short amount of time. I feel for the circumstances that occurred. It was the time span is adequate. Like what happened is directly a result of what occurred, and the time was appropriate. So.
Right. And I love what you said about, being a Christian in the two-parent household. And I was raised within the two-parent household. My grandparents, they were together until my grandparents passed, both sides, right? And so I see what you mean about like and watching my grandparents be together for 60 plus years and my parents being together for 35. Sorry, mom, if I got that wrong. It's just like, yeah, you don't wanna. You don't you you want to fall in that direction, but if you didn't have that same experience, which it sounds like maybe you didn't, am I correct? Then you want to do something different for your life, and I still think that you can. Like this is a moment. You know what I'm saying? Like this is not the end. You know that, but I just wanted to encourage you in that moment because of what you said. It was on my spirit. So, but yeah, how did that feel with your faith involved? Like just making that decision.
So thank you for saying that, first of all. And it definitely felt challenging. I mean, I questioned God. I questioned whether or not, that we ever believed on the same page. I mean, when I met him, we both were in our faith as well. So that was one of the appeals for me to actually go on that date with him, because I wanted somebody that was going to be able to practice and grow stronger in my faith with. So I felt deceived. I felt really distant. There was a lot of moments of crying, and I was depressed because I felt that, why my marriage? Why my love story? When it happens to you, and we're talking about, leaning on God, and God won't give you any more than you can bear, and everything that happens will work out for your good, and all of those things. When tests rise that occur, it's really hard to just focus your mind on what's at the other end, especially when you're trying to hold on to what you want. I was holding on to, I wanted the marriage. I want these two parents. I want us to, I want the, we had already had like the pajama pictures with the flannel. I mean, I want this. I want this. And for God to tell me I couldn't have it, And I said, "Well, you don't like divorce. Why are you telling me I can't have it? You could change." And I was watching it's some Christian movie. I can't remember, but it's the woman and she's with the man and he's just terrible. And she just prays and she prays and he changes, you know? So I'm like, I'm
Another
praying
movie.
the same prayer that Sierra did, and you not coming in here and changing this, right?
The
So
Sierra prayer.
yeah, I'm praying a Sierra prayer. You know, and this is you ain't coming in and stepping in, God. Like you always there. You supposed to show up when I think that you ain't. You supposed to come into the lion's den when I'm in the lion's den. This is the lion's den, God. So my faith definitely struggled, and I definitely had it distanced my relationship from God going through that divorce. I'm just now getting back to a place where I'm comfortable saying that I am a Christian and that I am practicing, I am following God. So it definitely took a toll on my relationship with God.
Well, I'm glad that you're returning. I'm glad that you're coming out the tunnel and seeing the light, essentially. And I just think I'm just loving hearing this because it's so much strength in knowing, like, okay, this is not. And sometimes I think of it this way, like right now I think of it this way. This is not what God wanted me to have. I mean, obviously, like that's why he gave you the courage to step away. That's why he sent that counselor to be real blunt with me.
I love what you said as well about having that representation of the two parent household. You know, that is really important because, you know, I didn't have that. You know, I had a strong mother. That's what I was used to seeing. No one in my family was married for a substantial period of time. I had no real examples of that outside of other people that I knew. So I was basically holding on, trying to emulate something that I had never really seen. And he didn't have that as well. So we both didn't have a representation of really what that looked like. We both had kind of independent parents that we grew up with seeing. So that demographic in its own kind of hurt us a little bit because it's hard to try to work on something when you don't know what's acceptable and what is not.
Right.
You know, there were things that weren't acceptable a long time ago, but I didn't know, I mean, earlier in the marriage. But I didn't know because I didn't have anything to reference. So
right. I get it. And yeah, I'm really truly grateful for that experience and being able to see my parents in that way. And my grandparents on my other side, who I neglect to say because they were married for at least 20 something years. But that was each of them's second marriage too. So I love that story as well. But right. I agree. Like I feel like sometimes if you can't see it, like it's hard to know there's a way through it. But I also still think that, and I love the word divorcee because I think it's a real fun word and we should bring it back. I also think that there's love after divorce. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, is that something you're open to?
I think there's definitely love after divorce. I've been in one relationship since then, working on another one because that one didn't work. but currently in something else right now. But I definitely found solace in knowing that what I was looking for in some aspects is out there. Even though it wasn't everything I wanted when I was dating, it was some aspects of what I wanted. But I feel like I learned, I feel like what I learned the most from that experience is, you know, it's good enough, it's not good enough. You know, at the time in the beginning, that feeling that I had when I said, well, I like him, he's a nice guy, you know, whatever. It was good enough. You know, it was good enough, but good enough is not good when it comes to matters of the heart. It needs to be what you want. And it wasn't what I wanted. And some of the things that came out later showed why. You know, there's your intuition that tells you, you know, that something is wrong. And so I've learned in dating now, you know, if something isn't what I want, then I shouldn't accept it. And that's made it a little bit easier for me. Now, I can't say that dating has been. Listen here. It's a pool. It's piss in the pool. Excuse me, but and it's fish in there. And somewhere in there, you know, there's my fish. But I haven't been as hesitant as I was when I first thought about divorce and dating. I was hesitant because I felt like maybe I wasn't ready. And when you're not ready, you tend to accept stuff that you shouldn't be accepting. So
Right.
sometimes I got into things and I realized as I was going through, I'm like, I'm asking this person for a whole lot, probably because I'm not ready. And so I had to take a step back. But I definitely think there's love after divorce. Look, I'm out here. Okay, I'm outside. I'm
Okay,
ready.
listen. Send him to Misha. Okay. Was like, but you have the discernment now to, be able to. Because I kissed a couple frogs in my past too, and I once I met my husband, I was like, "Ah, you're a little different. You're a little different there, brother." Okay, you're not like my usual. So my last thought question before I get into my game, is there any advice that you would offer to other women, like young women in your situation, or considering divorce, I suppose?
And women that were in my specific situation, and then I would say first when you're in the situation, then I'm going to give advice for going forward. In the situation, when it involves matters of mental health, okay, because this is what really was the breaking point of the marriage. It had to do with his mental health, and I don't want to say anything negative towards him because he is, you know, the father of my child, but. In regards to matters that have to deal with mental health, you are not their psychiatrist. You're not. That's not your job as their spouse. That's not your role as their wife. Yes, you are made to be support, but when it is out of your hands, you have to get help. You have to get help in order to be able to see clearly in that situation because sometimes some things require a skill level that has nothing to do with you. Some things that he did and that occurred with him, I had to learn that they really didn't have anything to do with me. They had to do with stuff that was going on with him. And until I got help, you know, I wasn't able to see clearly in the situation. And then just going forward, when it comes to matters of divorce, you can't listen to your friends or even your family or anybody, when you're making that decision has to solely come from you. You can consult with them and tell them, you know, your fears and tell them what's going on, tell them, you know, how you're feeling and what's making you feel that way because you need an outlet. But in that marriage, even when you're divorcing it's between you and that person. So when you make that decision, making sure that it's a sound decision that you can sleep with it has to come from you. It has to come from you, no outside influences. And so when I made that decision, at the time, it had to do with not only me, but the well-being and happiness of my daughter. And even though I felt like she would be happy with two parents, I felt like she would be successful if one of her parents was stable and happy. And at the time, it was me. So I made the decision on behalf of me and her. And but I, although I had the support of my mom, I mean, my mom was I, when I wasn't, when I should could have been crying to my then husband because I couldn't. It was my mom and my friends, my best friend. I have some great friends. I moved in with two of my friends during the time I was divorced, so I had great support. But they let me make the decision. So that would be my advice. Make sure when you're making the decision that it's your decision.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, I don't know, so I can't agree, but I trust that you know
You
best.
shall not know. You
Okay.
shall not know, ma'am. You shall not
Amen.
know.
Amen. I receive it. I receive it.
Receive it.
Oh.
You shall not know. Not
Okay,
gonna
let's play a little game that I call marry, date, or dump. And so I think I sent you one example and I can't remember what that was. So I'm just gonna do the ones that I picked out.
Okay.
See, I don't even know if you drink, but I'm going to ask anyway. So you'll tell me water. Oh, so I'll give you three options. Sorry, let me explain. And then you'll tell me which one you want to marry, which one you want to date, and which one you want to dump.
Okay.
So water, wine, or whiskey. Which one you marrying, dating, dumping?
I am going to marry the water because I don't
Perfect.
drink. I would date the wine because I have had at least one that I thought was okay. And I'm definitely gonna dump the whiskey because I'm not a hard type of liquor girl.
I like them all. See, that's my jam. Okay, see, you might be a little too young for this one, so I'm gonna revert back to my chicken one, because I mean, you look too young to be a 90s kid, so.
Definitely a 90s
Okay,
kid.
then we're gonna do it. Martin, well, you said TikTok, so I'm like, what? But then again, one of my other guests met their husband on TikTok too, so this is a thing.
Snapchat.
No, it's the chat. Oh, my bad. Yes, it was Snapchat. Listen, that's
You
right.
told me to TikTok my way to love.
No, no, no,
Uh-oh.
no, no. It was Snapchat for my other guests too. I remember.
Okay, Snapchat.
It was
Okay.
Snapchat. That's the one social media I didn't get onto because I couldn't get past the stupid filters. And I don't use stupid like that, but I just couldn't get past that. I'm like, what are we doing? And why are we having a little animal that's looking out? I don't understand it. I'm sorry. That was a lot of energy. I'm going to debate if I want to keep that in or not.
Okay. I think you should keep it.
Like, okay, yeah. All right, here's the next one then, since I know you're a 90s baby. Martin, Living Single, or the Jamie Foxx show?
I'm gonna have to marry the Jamie Foxx show. I thought he was fine at the time.
Man.
I would date Martin because it's funny, and I would dump living single because I couldn't relate to a lot of living single at the time where it was on. I wasn't old enough to understand what was going on, so
Fair enough. I've actually never seen Martin, so I don't.
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, he was a character. I lived around clowns. It was nice.
No, I feel like I might have had it on one time. Somebody watched it in college and it just seemed silly to me, and I don't like silly stuff. But the Jamie Foxx show was silly too, but he could sing, and so he would incorporate the singing, and I liked that. Okay, last one. Me time, mommy time, or girlfriend time?
Me time first. I would marry it right now just because I'm a single parent and I don't get a lot of it. So it's like a commodity. So something when you can't have it, you want more of it. I do have help, but yeah, I probably would marry me time. I would date mommy time because I mean, I love being a mom. She's growing and I'm enjoying that process. And I like finding books for us to read and giving her bath. And her little attitude developing like mine. I just love it. And so I would dump girlfriend time just because I don't get a lot of it. And all of my friends are kind of in the same boat as me where we're working. So we meet up when we can. So if we don't have that time, we make that time. So
I love it. Yeah. I'm not a mother yet, but I value what you're saying. I'm foreshadowing what you're saying, and I'm thinking it.
you
I
ain't gonna have
yeah,
no time for
I'm
nothing.
thinking
You
it's
ain't gonna
gonna be
have
like
time for
that.
nothing.
Yeah. But like girlfriend time I think is good, but I just feel like I can text my life away and that feels like that fills that void. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let my listeners know how they can connect with you. Let's talk a little bit about the podcast, all that good stuff.
Okay. I'm on Facebook as Roynisha Simmons. Don't try to spell it and look for it. Okay. But my podcast is Dimensions of Success, and it is on Facebook. It's on Anchor. It's on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. The podcast started as me wanting to network with other women and talk about their successes that were outside of societal norms, because I'm actually one of the successes that's outside of societal norms. And I wanted to talk to other women who were doing things that they felt successful in and get their experiences and their gems and their tips of how they got there. So that's how the podcast started as my baby. And it's kind of grown, and it was just all women, and now it's I was watching some in Tampa, and now it's minority women. So I just felt really inspired by that show and what she's trying to do. And most of my guests that I was bringing on were minorities anyway. And I just feel that there's a unique set of challenges that only minorities face.
Right.
So it has gone over to being in this season 2, which which is coming out on Monday, it has gone over to being more tailored towards minorities. So that's my baby. And that's where you can find me as well. I'm also on Instagram at Dimensions of Success. And one of the S's is missing. So yes, I know how to spell. But it's missing because it's going back to that image of success being perfect. So taking away one of the S's, it still says success, whether you add the S or don't. So that's why one of the S's is missing.
Awesome. That'll all be in the show notes. Thank you so much for chatting with me. All right, listeners, we're going to go on to the positive tip, but you stay here. The positive tip. The biggest thing I took from my conversation with Misha is that it's important to be true to yourself when you're making a major decision. And I would obviously consider a divorce a major decision. And I'm so grateful that she was true to herself and that people I know that have gone through a divorce were true to themselves and did the best thing for them. And I respect that. And so definitely check out Misha's podcast, Dimensions of Success, which is in the show notes of this episode. And if you're new here, please don't forget to subscribe and check me out. Every other Thursday, I release a podcast with marriage and woman conversations like this. And I am going to float in and out of, different types of marriages and different types of situations. And so coming up, not next week, but the next time you'll hear from me, I am speaking to a true young Black missus who recently got married. So we'll be talking to Jessica. She's also a podcaster of Unmute Your Mic. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that conversation. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Young Black Misses. You can definitely check out my website, youngblackmisses.com, so you can check out the show notes, listen to any of your favorite podcasts, check out some of the blogs that I'm writing and see what I'm talking about on there. A little foodie, a little conversation, a little good for you. You know how we do. Okay, until next time. See ya. Peace.